welcome. It's good to be here this afternoon. Especially good to be here because there may well be a myriad of other things that we could have been doing with our lunch breaks. I imagine we could well have been going into the park, having a nice picnic. Could well have been hitting the gym, trying to get our next target ready for the half marathon coming up. We could well have been getting stuck in with some emails so we could get home earlier. But it is good to be here. We've got our passage here, and we've got a little sort of handout on the back to sort of guide us through where we're going. We're going to be thinking about why is it? Why do we bother with Christian stuff? Perhaps we're here because maybe someone invited us along. We thought, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, may as well. But there is so much other stuff we could be doing. Even perhaps if we are Christian here today, we might well wonder the same thing. Why do we bother with Christian stuff? Really, I mean, think about it. On a Sunday morning, we could well have a lie-in instead of heading to church. When we're considering praying, we've got 5 minutes spare. Well, the dinner is there and it won't cook itself. We've got other stuff to do, other stuff to be cracking on with. I guess hours turn into days, turn into weeks, go by. We haven't thought about Christian stuff at all, and life's basically fine. What's the point in bothering with all of this Christian stuff then? But it turns out that our reasons that we have aren't exactly new. They're not new reasons to not bother with Christianity. When Hebrews has written this letter that we have in our New Testament, there was still sleep to be had. There was still dinner to cook. There were still business deals and messages to send. There was even persecution and pressure to stop being Christian. Okay then, so why bother? Why bother? Well, Hebrews drops through the letterbox 2,000 years ago and tells them why to bother. As God speaks to us today, he's telling us why to bother. And three reasons. Why bother with the Christian stuff? Or in Hebrews language, as we've seen over the last few months in the book of Hebrews, and why is it worth drawing near? And why draw near to God today? Well, here we go. If we're Christian, what we're going to see is that we have so much more than perhaps we could ever imagine. And we're also going to see that turning our back on Jesus, well, that means that we'd lose more than we could possibly ever realise. We'll get there. Firstly, though, why draw near? And first heading there, first idea from the passage, it's because we have Jesus. This is sort of, I imagine here with the children in Sunday school, they're having those rooms up there. This is kind of the child Sunday school answer, the answer that every child gives. Jesus! But it is the answer that the passage gives here. Let's see, verses 19, 22. Let me read. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. These verses are actually landing the point from the whole of the book of Hebrews, from chapter 4, weeks and weeks ago, I imagine. I'm concluding the argument since then. Draw near. Come close to God right now. Because we have Jesus. In Hebrews, draw near means sort of doing the Christian stuff. Saying our prayers. Being with church family. Hearing from God's word together. Spiritually, in that moment, we are, as it were, drawing near. Coming to God. And this is why we should do this. Even when we can't be bothered. It's because, firstly, our sins are gone. Verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. I remember the last few weeks, Jesus' blood has definitively taken away all of our sins forever. And once for all, he did it. And so as a Christian, we are spiritually spotless. So that holy place where God is, holy, 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 that is a place where now we are allowed to enter. Praise the Lord. Our sins are gone because of Jesus. Secondly, the holy place is open, verse 20, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. You might remember sort of Bible story background. Since humanity rebelled against God, turned our back on him, his holy space was not open. The doors were closed, and it was as if he was saying, because of your sin, you cannot come in. This isn't a space for you. But now with Jesus, he's saying, and what we've seen over the last few weeks in Hebrews, the doors are wide open. Our sin is forgiven and we can walk on in. The holy place is open because of Jesus. And thirdly, something else that Jesus has done for us. He is our priest for ever. We've seen this so much in Hebrews, haven't we? Verse 21. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. A priest, what is a priest? A priest is sort of a middleman between us and God. He's someone on our side, someone who's got our back. Someone to keep us trusting God day by day. And we have a priest who never sleeps. A perfect sinless priest, a priest forever because of Jesus. This is the point that I'm wanting to bring home from the passage. And we have it all. If we are trusting in Jesus today, we have absolutely everything we could possibly hope for. And here is the sort of the arrowhead and tip summary of the book of Hebrews so far. The doors of heaven, they are wide open, and propped open, held open. Our priest is ready to take us into God's presence by the hand. So come on in. Draw near. And we might know the statue in Rio de Janeiro. It stands over this Brazilian city, Christ the Redeemer, Cristo Redentor, over the city. He's saying, come in. The arms are open. This is Jesus to us today. Wherever we are during the day, literally anything might seem more worth it and more worth our time than Christian stuff. But Jesus' arms are open. We have the opportunity to be reconciled with our Creator, what we were made for. Come on in. Draw near. So perhaps on a sunny afternoon in June, or even a rainy day in February, when actually we can think of a million and one things that we might rather do than go to church or say our prayers, well, we remember we have Jesus. We might even sing the hymn to ourselves. Before the throne of God above, oh yeah, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is God. My name is written on his hands and graven on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. Yeah, I do have Jesus. That's wonderful. Maybe I should draw near. Draw near, he says. That's let us draw near. Verse 22. There are actually three lettuces here. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. He's saying, let's stay Christian. And then verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Help others to do the same. Come on, everyone. Draw near. Stay Christian. Three lettuces, a triple lettuce, you could say. Just like in chapter 4. This is a triple lettuce sandwich. That's what Hebrews is. Chapter 4 and chapter 10, three lettuces. Everything in between is the argument. We're landing the argument. These verses were telling us, draw near. Draw near. We have Jesus Christ. Our second reason to draw near is because, well, it would be a terrible thing not to. Second heading there on our sheet is because, yes, we have Jesus, but on the other side, to trample Jesus underfoot, that would be terrifying. Let me explain. These verses are, the tone's about to shift. We're going to hear a tone shift here, and it's going to get severe. Remember that God is telling us these things in love as I read. To trample Jesus underfoot would be terrifying. Let me read verse 26 and 27. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. And we've seen that Christ the Redeemer, Jesus, he has opened the doors of heaven for us to welcome us in, and to not make use of that, to say, no, thank you, Jesus, I'm going to stay outside of the holy place, thank you very much. I'm actually going to stay in my sin, my old life, where I was before, instead of heading into where God is. And to turn our back on his open arms, that would be a terrible thing. I guess we may well have been on holiday somewhere exotic. The beaches of Australia, my family in New Zealand, and they sort of travel around and told me the beaches of Australia have these signs that say, don't go in the water, sharks. What's it doing? Well, the sign is there, out of love, out of care, telling us of danger, getting our expectations ready, and we know that what the consequences are. A sign in London on the tube, what does it say? Don't cross the train tracks. Why is it saying that? It's out of love, out of care. And there is danger. Expectations. It would be awful if you disobeyed that. Verse 27 in our passage says, rejecting Jesus leads to a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. I'd love to highlight today that Jesus, he is the most loving man who ever lived. And he warns us of this too. He calls it hell in this similar sort of picture language of fire. And this is what we can expect if we look at Christ the Redeemer with his arms open and we say, no, thank you. Turn our back on him, throw him in the bin, trample him underfoot. I'm not much of an art type, but in 1987, first prize was won at a contemporary art show in USA in North Carolina. It's sort of a national-wide competition. The best piece of art in 1987. Does anyone have a clue what it might have been? It was a photograph. It was a photograph of Jesus on a cross, submerged in the artist's urine. The name of it was P. Christ. A more rude version of that. I'll let you look it up later. P. Christ. It sounds terrible. Why would anyone make such a thing? To sort of disrespect, even a sort of a statue of Christ in such a way. And why would you do that to somebody? Well, it seems like we are doing something similarly awful if we turn our back on Jesus and say no thank you. Let's see this in verse 28. Let me read again. Verse 28. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? These are bold words. It's basically saying if we keep in our old life and say no to Jesus, it's like we are looking at him and we are trampling him under our feet. An awful thing. Why should we draw near today? Well, it's because I'm saying no. I'm trampling Jesus underfoot. That's a terrifying thing. So I guess, today is Wednesday. If today we have 5 minutes to pray, but can't be bothered. And then this goes on, Thursday and Friday and July and August and 2027 and then 28 and into the 2030s. If we prefer not to pray, not to enter the holy place, to pretend like the holy places don't even exist, that Jesus has done nothing for us, that is eternally dangerous, a terrible thing. And God, he is warning us in love. He loves us. We should draw near. And if we find this unsettling and, feeling a bit warm and it's not just the heat today, that's right. It's worth thinking about. But if we are Christian today, if we do trust Jesus, this isn't where the passage ends. Thankfully, there is more to say. Because it turns out we are not the kind of people to turn our backs on Jesus. That's not who we are. Let me show you what I mean. And this is the third point. Why draw near? Because it's who we are. We are the kind of people who do draw near. Yes, it might be that we don't want to draw near, that we feel like we can't be bothered, or that emails need finishing. Perhaps it might be that we just don't feel like it. We just don't feel Christian. Well, we need a reminder of who we are. Verse 32 to 35 is the trip down memory lane. Recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners of those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. What he's saying is this, and this has been true for all of Hebrews. If we get stuck, if we feel like we don't want to draw near, if we don't even feel particularly Christian today, firstly, remember Jesus before the throne of God above. Secondly, just take a look at our lives and remember ourselves. Christians, God says, remember who you are. You are Christian. You are faith people. And faith people draw near. That's just what you do, and that's what you've been doing. Think about it. I guess some of us have been Christian for a while. We might well remember the day, that day when we first became keen on being a Christian. Perhaps the day when we first became Christian, and perhaps when we were 15 on a summer camp, and we first turned around from our old life and turned to follow Jesus. We might remember when we were 19 years old and heading to a different church for the first time, away from our family, and we were singing our heart out, "Yes, I will follow Jesus." Perhaps in our early 20s, when we stayed up all night talking to our housemate about who Jesus was. Perhaps once how we've loved in our past a really difficult family member. Perhaps once how we lost our job and we thought, "It's okay. God's in control. He's got this." We look back on our lives, take a trip down memory lane in our memories, and we think, "Oh yeah, I am actually a Christian. My life has shown that I do have faith and hope and love. I am Christian. I am a faith person. And what have I been doing in my life? I've been drawing near to God. Faith people draw near. That's just who we are. We are faith people. We draw near." Verse 39. "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." If we are Christian today, this is who we are. We are faith people. Draw near because we are faith people. So we thought of three reasons to draw near. And why bother with Christian stuff? Or in Hebrews words, why bother coming to the Lord's throne? Well, we have Jesus, the Sunday school answer. Because saying no to Jesus, trampling him underfoot, would be an absolutely terrible, terrible thing. And thirdly, it's who we are. We've always been drawing near. So keep going. Keep going. With our prayers on the bus, heading to church on a Sunday, singing songs around the kitchen at home, just do that. Just keep going. Draw near. So I guess for the Hebrews 2,000 years ago almost, with business deals to close and messages to send, the dinner to cook, the ironing to do, making use of Jesus might seem like the last thing they wanted to do on their to-do list, somewhere near the bottom. Well, now they have three reasons to spiritually walk through heaven's gates, which are open, thrown open, with Jesus' arms open wide. Maybe today, just maybe, it's worth us thinking. It's worth us reflecting on our own lives. What is it that stops me bothering with Christian stuff? What is it? What are the things that go to the top of my to-do list way before anything to do with following Jesus? Saying our prayers, heading to church, reading our Bibles. And maybe it's worth thinking, what are those things that make me think, not today, not today, Christian stuff? Seems like a waste of time. In fact, the dinner needs doing. The microwave clock needs adjusting, and my inbox is full. I can't do it. I'm just not going to do it today. And maybe, just maybe, what's happening here is that we haven't fully grasped the magnitude, the height and the width and the depth of what Christ has done for us on the cross. His arms are fully open. He has died and risen to welcome us in to God's, to heaven's throne room. And we can draw near. We have such a great privilege to draw near into God's throne room. Maybe we haven't grasped how amazing that is today. Or maybe we haven't grasped how awful it would be to turn our back on that. To trample on Jesus' face. Say, "No, I'm not going to do that today. No, thank you, Jesus. I'm not interested in your work." Maybe, just maybe, we need to remember that, oh yeah, I actually am a Christian. And Christians draw near, and that's what I've always been doing, and I should just keep doing that. Maybe, just maybe, this passage gives us a few things to think about. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's draw near today. Let's do that right now, as I pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that because of Christ's incredible work we've seen in Hebrews, his death and resurrection, the doors to heaven's throne room are flung wide open, and we can walk in right now spiritually in prayer and come before you. And what an amazing privilege. We pray that you'd help us to see how awesome that is and value it today and draw near. Help us to see how terrible it would be to say no and walk back the way we came. Father God, thank you so much for your word to us today. And we pray that you'd help us to think about what this could mean for us in our offices and back at home. Amen.